Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
On WGN Brittany, WGN Brittany on WGN Radio. We've kind of been WGN Brittany on this show the last couple of days. We've been chatting about the Britney Spears docuseries on FX and Hulu and that New York Times Presents series. One of the episodes is titled Framing Britney Spears, and it's about Britney Spears, but it's about so much more than that. You know, this is maybe me talking to myself, but before you judge this as a teen pop biopic, you should know that it is really about what Nina Metz describes as the celebrity industrial complex. It's about how we treat girls and women differently than boys and men. It's about sexism and sexualization. It's about the thin line between tabloid and mainstream media. And it's about the legal business of something called conservatorship. How someone can be in charge of someone else's life. And forget about Britney's dad. You've heard about him. You know who comes off bad in this eye-popping show is Diane Sawyer and Matt Lauer and Ed McMahon, for crying out loud, Justin Timberlake. I'm not even sure that the Free Britney podcasters who champion her cause should get a pass. Framing Britney frames other people and institutions around her, and it makes her look sympathetic and tragic and also normal, all at the capable hands of Liz Day, who, as I mentioned a moment ago, is the senior editor in the series and a senior editor at the New York Times. Liz, thanks for joining us. You're on WGN Radio. Hello.
Hi, I'm so thrilled to be here. Thank you for having me.
What a piece of work. And interestingly timed, because she and her father and their legal teams were just in court yesterday. Did you all sort of position the release of this to coincide with their legal troubles?
We did not. When we first started on the documentary, it was, you know, before Britney's lawyer dropped the bombshell this late summer that said, you know, I want my dad to no longer be conservator over my money. So when we started on the project, it was really more of just a reexamination of the way that Britney was treated in the late 90s and early 2000s.
And what did you find? I mean, you knew that her estate was being handled by her father. So what were you looking for, or what surprised you?
Well, I think what surprised us was that Britney's lawyer in late summer 2020 said Britney does not want her father to be in charge of her money anymore. And that was really the first time in the entire 12 years of the conservatorship at that point where she's publicly said, hey, I want changes. Before that, it had been really hard to know, you know, how she felt about things. I think what also really surprised me was we learned that in the early days of the conservatorship, she tried to hire a lawyer, Adam Streisand, who we interview in the film, who said that she told him, my one request is I don't want my dad to be the conservator.
So for 12 years, though, her dad has been. And is it just about money, or does he get to make decisions about child care, her job, her career? How broad is his power over her life?
So we know from the court records that Britney's conservators have had large powers over her life. There are two types of conservators, and Jamie operated as both of them for a long period. Over Britney's personal life, he had had the power to control who visits Britney and to retain security for her 24/7, to communicate with her doctors and access her medical records. As conservator of her money, he's had a lot of leeway over her career and the ability to make business decisions for her.
Does she need, or did she need somebody to, you know, we can answer after this. Was he the best choice? But did she need that sort of, you know, conservator to look over her affairs?
You know, we don't know what we don't know. Many of the court records are sealed. So ultimately, we don't know what evidence was presented, but we do know that the judge ruled she fit the criteria for needing a conservator of her personal life and her estate at that point in 2008.
Was it because she had a nervous breakdown? Is that back when she shaved her head?
It did happen around the time, you know, she shaved her head in early 2007 and had public struggles that culminated in January 2008 when she had two 5150 holds in California, which are involuntary psychiatric holds. The conservatorship was implemented the next day after the second one. But again, ultimately, I think it's important to note, we don't know, you know, what exact mental health or drug or right. none of the above issues might have been cited as their evidence.
Well, which leads me to the second question, which is, okay, maybe she did, maybe she didn't. But the court decided she did. I can live with that as long as Jamie is not in charge. Wasn't there anybody else? Couldn't they have just hired a third-party attorney or somebody else to oversee her affairs?
They could have, and that's what Adam Streisand, the lawyer that Brittany tried to hire, had wanted to do. He said she wanted someone independent, a professional fiduciary to be in charge, not her father, who she had a very strange relationship with. And, you know, growing up, he had dealt with alcoholism. He had declared bankruptcy, had issues holding down a job. So it's very interesting that he took charge. Of course, he would, you know, he and his lawyers argue that he's done a great job over the last 12 years in rebuilding her fortune for her.
Yeah, I'm sure that he has his side of the story. But having watched your documentary, you think, what's the matter with the judge? Why did they not see that he was the classic prey on the kid father?
We made a lot of effort to speak to the two different judges that have overseen Brittany's conservatorship. Ultimately, you know, they declined to speak with us, which we think is really unfortunate because I would love to hear, you know, their perspective on things.
You show the story from her youth, and I thought it was interesting the way you all chose to edit it. It didn't open with Brittany on stage. It wasn't sexy and fun and glamorous. It was just a sort of rote by rote, stage by stage, telling of her story with other people speaking about her at first. Why did you choose to sort of frame the story that way?
Yeah, we had a lot of discussion over the best way to frame the story, and we experimented with different ways, but ultimately we decided just a simple chronological timeline was the best way to clearly help you in order to understand where Brittany is now in her conservatorship battle. We need to understand how she got here from the very beginning. And the best way to do that was just, you know, very simply to start from the beginning.
And you're reminded how pretty she was, how talented she was, how innocent, sure, but also together. She was a bright girl, even as a young adult, even as a mom. There were times she said things that you thought, that makes perfect sense. This lady hasn't lost her mental capacity.
That was one of the biggest surprises for me. I think there's a big misperception out there that Brittany was just a talentless puppet, whereas our reporting revealed she had a lot more control and agency over her success than I think a lot of people have given her credit for. She also worked incredibly hard to earn, you know, every penny of her fortune that she cannot control today.
Well, I thought that was smart because you showed times. Now she's a big star. She's doing, you know, stadium concerts or arena concerts. They're working on the staging and she's very angry. She's going, no, I want the music louder. Trust me. I know what I want. I know what I need. And I thought that's what you expect from a marquee artist who's smart and in charge. And it completely flies in the face of the image that we've had of her in the past.
Absolutely. And I think also, like, we as a society have really changed our viewpoint on that. You know, today you hear about girl boss and lean in, and women are really encouraged to take the reins and, you know, say what they want. But I think back then that was viewed, you know, very differently.
Yeah, beyond diva, but also beyond or before. She certainly predated Me Too, and I think she would have benefited maybe from some of that, don't you?
Absolutely. I think post-Me Too, you know, we wouldn't see a male journalist ask a young female celebrity whether she's had breast implants or whether she's a virgin. But I also don't want to be naive that, you know, there aren't still unfair standards today that women all across the spectrum experience.
Well, my wife and I watched it last night, and some of the jaw-dropping clips were from post-2000, right? Not 100 years ago, 15 years ago, 18 years ago. And I'm like, holy cow, did Matt Lauer, did Diane Sawyer really say and do those things?
Totally. I felt the same way. It felt as if it was a time capsule from a long ago era. But really, you know, that Diane Sawyer interview, I think, was 2003. The Matt Lauer interview was 2006. You know, just a few months ago, there was a Dr. Drew clip that we don't include in the documentary, but that I watched where he's, you know, criticizing Britney for being middle-aged and prancing around on her Instagram in a crop top. And, you know, you think, how are we going to view that even today? But in 10 years from now, we'll also view how unfair that is.
For perspective, here's the clip you're referring to. I have a couple from your documentary series. We're visiting right now with Liz Day, the senior editor of Framing Britney Spears. That's you that we see in the series. You're doing the narration and discussion, correct?
Yes, that is me, and I was 8 months pregnant, so please forgive me if I wasn't incredibly articulate.
I think you were perfect for this. No, and here's a couple of the clips that you chose to share. Diane Sawyer sharing with Britney Spears some thoughts. I mean, Britney is sitting there, Diane is sitting there, and Diane says this.
Britney Spears has upset a lot of mothers in this country, starting with the wife of the governor of Maryland.
Really, if I had an opportunity to shoot Britney Spears, I think I would.
Oh, that's horrible.
Well,
that's really bad.
Because of the example for kids and how hard it is to be a parent.
Well, that's really sad that she said that. Ew. I'm not here to, you know, babysit her kids.
What a good answer. And hey, Diane, who gives a poop what the governor of Maryland's wife thinks? I mean, how is that relevant, right? What was it that she was referring to? The fact that she drove with her kid in her lap or the fact that she's just too sexy?
Too sexy. So that was, you know, the governor, the wife of the governor of Maryland speaking at an anti-violence rally, to be clear, saying she would shoot Britney if she could for the example she sets for young women in dressing sexy and the Lolita sort of image. And yeah, I totally agree with you. Britney's response is pretty shockingly tough and smart and much better than I would have come up with.
She's in tears, though, at that point. And Diane Sawyer doesn't need my judgment, and she's done great things. But what the hell was going on there? I mean, Matt Lauer sort of lost his way when he interviewed her, too, right?
Yeah, I think there was this, like, wanting to see Britney be confronted with, you know, these criticisms and to watch, to kind of push her boundaries and watch her potentially react in an explosive way. But again, I'm not sure that you would necessarily see that today. Interestingly, with Diane Sawyer on Twitter, you start to see people have been picking up on other examples of interviews she's given with Whitney Houston or Michael Jackson, in which she also seems to ask inappropriate questions.
I understand the temptation to say something shocking or ask the question everybody wants answered, say the thing everybody wants said, but I don't know. There's a certain standard or level that I think you would expect from, say, a Matt Lauer.
I went to Starbucks and I see a bunch of photographers and I'm scared and I want to get out of the situation and my baby's crying and they're banging on the windows and that's not something I want my baby to, you know, so I get my baby out of the car and I go home.
You've got all these legitimate people weighing in saying, you know what? She put her child at risk. Is Britney a bad mom?
That's famously when Britney was seen driving with her kid in her front seat. I was on talk radio at the time. I'm sure I was talking about it and railing against that. But I'd never heard the perspective. She was running from paparazzi. She grabs her kid. They didn't say she was doing 70 down the freeway. They said she was driving away. I don't know what happened there, but I was a little disappointed in Matt Lauer there too, Liz.
Yeah, I think we were really interested in providing the context around moments people think they knew about Britney. So the, you know, driving with the baby in the lap, I bet people didn't know that her explanation was the paparazzi were, you know, swarming her and she was trying to escape. And we tried to provide footage in the film too of the way that the paparazzi hounded her so people could perhaps better understand that moment.
You spent some time talking to a photographer, one of them, later in life now. Describe for me his rationalization of the career he had and the way he hounded her.
Yes. So my brilliant colleague, director-producer Samantha Stark, interviewed him. And this was a paparazzi who I believe wanted to start out as a filmmaker, but he got sucked in by the amount of money that you could make being a paparazzi at that time. And Samantha asked him, you know, a very provocative question in the film. She says, do you think all of this paparazzi attention helped contribute to, you know, her breakdown or perceived breakdown? And he answers, no, I don't think so. You know, she never told us to leave her alone. And my colleague says, well, yes, she did. What about all the times we know that we have on tape of her saying, leave me alone? And his response is, you know, she meant leave me alone for the day, but not leave me alone forever. So I think that's a really interesting artifact of the way that the paparazzi viewed their relationship with celebrities like Britney Spears.
But she was good with them and they were good for her. It was a little symbiotic at first, right?
Yeah, that's the way he describes it. And you know, there is an element of celebrities needing the publicity for sure. But with Britney, you know, it was a whole other level. You know, the paparazzi, 2 months after she gave birth to her second baby, they shot a upskirt up her skirt, which, you know, today would be considered a crime in many states. So I think it went way beyond anything mutually beneficial.
She's an Amy Winehouse story, too, in that you're just pleading for her to find a good man, you know, dating or marrying, or a good father or a good mom or somebody who can help her out of that. Who was her best hope to kind of steer her through this time?
You know, that's impossible to answer. I do think that Felicia Culotta, her assistant slash confidant, who we interview in the film, it becomes pretty clear that, you know, she seems to have Britney's best interest at heart and was really there for Britney during the early years when her family couldn't be.
You saw that one clip of her mom expressing some thoughts, but she doesn't look really that affected by what's going on in the clip. And maybe that's just me from an outside perspective, but I'm also thinking about where was her mom and where is her mom? Why isn't she talking about her daughter more? And I'm not really sure. Do you have any thoughts on her current boyfriend?
Yeah, so it's hard to know too much about Sam, Britney's current boyfriend, but we do know that a few days ago after the documentary premiered, he wrote on his Instagram story that he doesn't have any respect for Jamie Spears and he thinks he is an expletive and doesn't treat his daughter right, which is a really big deal. Before publicly, we had no indication of, you know, how Sam felt. And basically everyone inside the inner circle has been very tight-lipped because this is an ongoing court case, you know, and lawyers presumably are advising people not to speak to the press. And again, with Britney's mother, we know that they were very close when Britney was young. They experienced some bumps along the road when Britney was dealing with her public struggles. But in 2019, Britney's mom filed to get more information and be more involved in the conservatorship case. And she's recently come out saying she supports Britney's efforts to remove Jamie and she wants to see brighter days for Britney.
Well, I'd like to see her mom insert herself more in the court case or the legal aspects rather than just cheering from the sidelines. It's her mom. Also, what about the financial interest? I don't want to dwell on this. We've got to wrap this up. But has her father taken a lot of her wealth? What's her financial status?
So the estate is currently valued around $60 million, but it's thought that Britney's net worth is higher because there's money in trusts or in other places through royalties, intellectual property, and more may come out in the future about that. We know that Jamie receives a salary for operating as Britney's conservator, and he also at various times in the past has been approved by the court. So, for example, he received 1.5% of Britney's Las Vegas revenues related to performances and merchandise, which, you know, is one of the most successful residencies in all time.
Well, how does that make any sense? If you're the conservator, you're there to manage their well-being, but you're not their business manager. You shouldn't profit from them, should you?
Well, you know, Jamie has argued that, you know, he's done a lot of work behind the scenes to help those tours go off without
a hitch.
Then
let her hire him, right? I mean, then she could hire him for that. That's not my understanding of what a conservator should be.
It's a very interesting argument.
Wait a minute. We're not in court. Why am I arguing with you? You did the documentary. Liz Day is the senior editor at the New York Times Presents and creator of Framing Britney Spears. That's out now. So I can watch that on Hulu and FX, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I wish we had another hour. I don't. But well done, Liz. And what's the next object of your camera and writing? Who's next?
That's a very good question. We have a lot of ideas. I'm also juggling a 1-week-old newborn, so TBD and watch this space.
Thanks for your time, Liz. Well done. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Liz Day is a senior editor over there.